Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. How you doing, little buddy?
Hey, Crudy, happy Hump Day. Happy February to you, Evan, on the board. Our fair audience, great to be with every one of you.
You know, I thought we set such a fine example yesterday. I walked in literally to the studio just seconds before the show. Helicoptered in, as they say. But what a fine show it was. So I thought stroll in right here at the last moment today and see if we could pull it off two in a row. So anyways, Dom, here's the question I have for you and for Ebon and everyone that can hear the sound of my voice right now. That means you people. What's worse than wasting $1 million on an election-denying Gableman investigation, Dom?
Oh, Mr. Kata, how about wasting $2 million?
How is this even freaking possible? The newest headlines. The Gableman, air quotes, investigation? $2 million?
Whoo!
That's a lot of lunches at the Chinese buffet. What the hell are the taxpayers on the hook for $2 million for? I mean, seriously.
No, I know,
can someone add it up for me?
It is, and when we hear Republicans talk about, you know, fiscal responsibility, I mean, we knew that this was a joke, right? I mean, Gableman, he went to go see Cyber Ninjas, right? I mean, Cyber Ninjas actually even did a count. We gave, Biden more votes, but there were some, you know, some travel costs, and there were some, you know, meals and entertainment and mileage, I guess it depends on how you spell it, Republicans. But, you know, Republicans and the megas, they claim to be all about, you know, fiscal responsibility. And at the end of this joke, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said, you know, Gableman was an embarrassment to the state. And, of course, I would say he continues to be. But Voss was the guy that hired him. Voss. And we are still, according to Bill Leaders at themadison.com, we are still on the hook.
Well, I want to read from his reporting, Dom. Many people in Wisconsin are under the impression the disastrous, let's repeat that word,
disastrous
probe into the state's 2020 presidential election conducted by former state Supreme Court corrupted Justice Michael Gableman is over, as are the costs to the taxpayers. As Leaders writes, they're wrong. You're wrong. If you thought it's over, it ain't over. It ain't over yet. The probe, conducted over 14 months by Gableman at the behest of Assembly Speaker Robin Boss Voss, failed to find any evidence of significant fraud, but it did reveal ample evidence of incompetence on the part of Gableman and his team and the Office of Special Counsel, including multiple spelling errors. Now, I'm not a great speller or speaker. I try not to hold that against others, but I'm not an attorney, Dom.
All right, and you're getting paid $2 million.
Hell, I can't even spell LSAT. It also led to contempt charges against both Voss and Gableman and to a judge's referral of Gableman to the office that regulates attorney conduct for his disgraceful behavior during a court proceeding.
Yes, let's give that guy money.
Voss, whose name, the OCS, routinely rendered as Voss, V-O-S-S, there's only one, fired Gableman last August. Spell my name wrong enough times, I'm going to fire you too. After relations between the two had soured, Dom, to where Gabelman endorsed the speaker's GOP primary opponent. We were there that day. Gabelman at a Trump rally on behalf of Adam Steen, running against the Republican speaker that was paying his $2 million and counting salary slash boondoggle slash whatever he's charging up at the Chinese buffet.
Well, it's all about, you know, finding the fraud, Crudy, stopping the steal. I mean, would you not spend any amount of money to ensure that our elections are fair and transparent?
Well, Dom, when they fired the guy, they had only spent $1.1 million, all paid for with taxpayer dollars. State Senator Melissa Agard from Madison said, "I'm glad that Speaker Voss had stopped the bleeding for these tax dollars going to a sham investigation. In fact, the bleeding never stopped." The amount paid by taxpayers now stands at more than $2 million, including nearly $1.5 million in legal fees, according to a report by the WisPolitics.com. It could yet rise by hundreds of thousands more. That is in part because Voss and attorneys over at the OCS are continuing to drag out litigation over the four records-related lawsuits brought by American Oversight, a liberal watchdog group. In one case involving contractor records controlled by Voss, awaits resolution on various issues, including whether American Oversight can recover its in-house counsel fees. Voss is arguing against logic and history that attorneys who work for a group bringing a fight cannot recover their fees, Dom.
Well, you know, Voss has his own way of doing things. I'll jump in here, Curdy. There's more. A second case involving records in Voss's own files is being briefed in the court, circuit court, on attorney's fees. Voss contending the fees are too high, though they are well within the norm. A third case in which a judge ruled in American Oversight's favor and awarded it almost $200,000 in attorney's fees is being appealed over every aspect, including attorney's fees and a contempt finding against the OSC. The group's attorney, Jim Bopp, keep hearing this guy's name, received permission from the court to file a 35,000-word brief, more than three times the usual limit. In this case, according to WisPolitics.com, Assembly Republicans have already spent more fighting a judge's order that they cover legal fees for American Oversight than the $200,000 taxpayers are currently on the hook to pay.
Were we paying James Bopp by the word? 35,000 words, Dom?
I mean, you know, why not?
Now, Jim Bopp, James, the esteemed attorney, also counsel that kept Marjorie Taylor Greene on the ballot, right? And Bopp is also the one that said of his own client, this effort, this statement by the corrupted former Supreme Court Justice Gabelman, I believe, about, you know, strongly considering overturning the election from 2 years ago, the already certified election.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, even Bopp, his own attorney, said that wasn't feasible. Well, that didn't take 35,000 words.
A fourth case about the preservation of OSC records remains pending. In all of these legal challenges, taxpayers are footing the bill for outside counsel. If American Oversight prevails, which is likely, taxpayers will have to cover the group's legal costs. All of this could have been avoided if Speaker Voss and OSC had simply followed the law.
Nope.
By preserving and providing records of their investigation, says Heather Sawyer, executive director at American Oversight.
Not going to do it.
As Bill Leaders concludes, enough already. It's time for Voss and the legislature to truly turn off the spigot of tax dollars flowing into this ill-begotten cause. Or as he starts out the article, disastrous. An ill-begotten, disastrous cause.
And the meter's still running.
By what? By the mega Republican Voss, after taking a flight to go see former President Trump in this whole effort to what? Continue the big push. It's just it was just another angle to push, and Voss went for it. Sure, why not? $2 million? Wow, we got plenty of money here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't worry about it. Ain't my money.
It is technically our money. You and me and the listeners, the taxpayers. It's our freaking money.
Yes, it is, but it ain't his.
You know, and the most grotesque part, I think, from the entirety,
yeah,
is the fact that, of course, Robin Voss is smart enough to know there was no real fraud. He knew that this was a sham investigation in the first place.
Sure.
When he went down to Alabama, the pressure campaign from the former president was really about convincing Voss to quote-unquote do the right thing. And they're still pressuring Voss. And they primaried Voss. And hell, they almost took Voss out during the primary, didn't they, Dom? But the
it was close.
I think the most grotesque thing is Voss always knew better. I mean, your buddy Rantham and the Janelle branch into the world. I think there's some Kool-Aid drinking
some true believers out there. Yeah.
Oh, I think there are. Shea Sortwell's probably in that column. These are all second string backbench Wisconsin Republicans that somehow took over the asylum. Somehow, pushed the Speaker of the Assembly aside. Hell, they charged his office down. And Janelle Branchon is running for state senate right now in a special election. She could
right
be your senator real, real soon.
Represent me, so totally unacceptable. Jody Habish-Sinikin, the sane one in that race.
That would be my thought as well. But, you know, Knodel, Branchon.
But listen, I mean, in some ways, though, you know, Voss actually stopped it. I mean, he started it, so no doubt, you know, he's responsible. He's culpable in this.
I'm sorry.
He could have totally wholeheartedly endorsed Gableman's position that you can, in fact, yes, the legislature can overthrow the will of the people.
He effectively did, because he let it linger. He let it metastasize, this cancer, this stop the steal, when it was beneficial to the base. To engage the base with the big lie. You know what the big lie is? It's financially engaging. It creates ratings for right-wing talk media culture and righty-whitey talk radio. So they're making money. They're making ratings. They're ginning up the base. And they're getting people to show up, Don.
And they're doing so by spending $2 million-plus taxpayer dollars.
Oh, that's
to affect this.
A drop in the bucket compared to what they would spend of taxpayer dollars to, what, just fight telling the truth, exposing the records. Because the investigation, Brimington, I think, was the judge that said, there was no freaking investigation.
There was no investigation.
Do anything for the money except fight with other lawyers with misspelling and badly written briefs. Come back. We're the devil's advocates. I'm not going to hold the spelling against him, though.
It's funny how a big lie can make us all kids again.
Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard it from another. You've been messing around.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, I'd just like to steal your time. Heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who. I heard you weren't hearing the music, so I will sing it to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
You want to do a little duet?
No, I do not. I like to keep the audience that we have.
Tom, we've got fine guests coming. I don't even think we've mentioned we got fine guests.
No, he's kind of got it. The headline, I mean, this Gableman investigation, quote-unquote investigation, over $2 million and counting. It kind of took over, man. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
We've got Joe Sopecki, a fine dim strategist, friend of ours, Coach Joe. He's got lots of titles. Vegas Joe. Depends on the mood we're in, mostly. But Joe Sopecki, a friend of ours, joining us real, real soon. You could join us right now, 844-967-2789. Later in the big show, in the happier happy hour, Dom, you'll all be happy to know we've got fine former U.S. Attorney James Santel, host of his own fine show, Morning Cannolis, you know, Saturdays 9 to 11, right here on the Civic Media Network. But more importantly, in the happier happy hour, right here on the Devil's Advocates, you know, with us, Dom and Crute.
And if you're, lots to talk about.
If you're new to this show, while we love the guest, we do love you most, you being the audience, and we love, you know, talking to you, busting your balls, doing what we do here. It's sort of an open format town hall each and every day. I'm going to say the phone number one more time for you, and then we're going to cracks more heads around here. 844-967-2789. Dom, you know, little made-for-radio event? Question mark? A little Supreme Court candidate forum. Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly. Now, you've heard a couple of his ads around here, Dom. Super packed ads, at least in support of the man. The contemptuous, the wanker appointed, never was very good, but he's trying again. Dan Kelly, that guy.
That guy.
Says he was burned by Justice Hagedorn and will not endorse Jennifer Doro if she wins the primary.
What? What? That, come that, on.
That's
more,
the headline
more right
here.
On right. Man, they're just in disarray, baby.
Let me read just briefly from the reporting here at the Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Dan Kelly is refusing to say if he would endorse his conservative opponent if she advances in the February primary. The long-awaited Rebecca Clayfish endorsement of Tim Michaels. Michaels is still waiting.
Right?
Kind of like waiting for a Trump concession speech. It's never going to come.
Never going to happen. But here's the thing. That says a lot about what is going on in that party. I know we joke about it, say it's a disarray, but when you have your two top candidates in the primary beating each other up and then not endorsing, not talking to each other after the fact, come on. I mean, there's a little bit of angst in the locker room, I guess.
Well, Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro, in turn, said she would endorse Kelly if he advances to face a liberal candidate in April, but accused two of his surrogates of attacking her in recent weeks. The comments came Tuesday at a forum for the conservative Supreme Court candidates hosted by the Republican women in Greater Milwaukee and Greendale, moderated by Whitey Righty talk radio host Dan O'Donnell. Doro and Kelly are running against two liberals, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasewicz, for a seat being vacated by conservative Justice Patience Rogensack. The outcome, Dom, could change the ideological makeup of the court, could change the soul of the state of Wisconsin. It's now a 4-3 conservative majority. I'd like to see that change, buddy.
Crudy, for most of the evening, Doro and Kelly put their energy into attacking Protasewicz, who has raised the most money and released the first television ads in the race. And when we say the most money, the AP is reporting she's raised more than her other three opponents combined. Both called Protasewicz dangerous for Wisconsin and criticized her for being open about her pro-choice beliefs. Let's jump down. But Tuesday was also the first time the two conservatives showed any public sign of disloyalty to each other. Kelly said he was burned by his endorsement of Justice Brian Hagedorn, who was elected to the Supreme Court in April of 2019 as a conservative, but has sided with the liberal minority on some key cases, including upholding Biden's win in Wisconsin and rejecting Trump's lawsuit. Hagedorn did side with conservatives to block Evers' push to shut down the 2020 elections because of the coronavirus and to uphold many of the legislators' lame duck laws. Apparently, that's not enough for Dan Kelly. Still, Kelly said he can't endorse Doro because Hagedorn has not followed through on his promise to be a judicial conservative. The quote from Kelly. I
do
had
it
to
in
apologize.
Your most pompous voice, please, so it resembles his.
I had to apologize to countless, hundreds of people, and I won't be put in that position again. This is not politics. This is about the court. I will promote judicial conservatism in any way I can. I don't want to go to the people again and say I endorse a candidate when you don't know what that candidate will do.
So what's the flip side of that equation, Dom? Is he going to go endorse Mitchell or Protasewicz?
Right.
Of course, he's just going to take his ball and go home, right?
That's fine with me. Sure, that's fine. If you don't, Republicans, if you don't want them, you don't like them, just stay home.
A little bit more here, Dom. Doro said if Kelly comes through the primary, he'll unequivocally have her support, but quickly added the Wisconsin Court of Appeals Judge Shelley Grogan and Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Grassel Bradley, you know, the bad Bradley, have both endorsed Kelly, have turned on her. I won't do that. It's not judicial. And I'm not going to take the chance to take someone out so that the left can win this election. We need to win this. We need to win this based on momentum, experience. here's where she throws herself a bone. A fresh face based on what all of you saw of me last October.
Oh, there we go. Playing it up.
She, of course, is the celebrity judge in the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy and the soon-to-be proprietor of a Suds and Shoots. Like a gun range with the bar. It seems like a great idea. Come back with us. I got a great idea. Let's bring Joe Sopecki, our good friend, a dim strategist, good guy, right here on the Devil's Advocates. Don't know if we're calling him Vegas or Coach or Joe.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Last time, we've invited Joe Sopecki round on Devil Radio. It's all coming
One last ride.
One
Getting
last
the band
chance.
Back together, baby.
Welcome, man. Joe Sopecki, a fine dim strategist, friend of the Devils, five-star recruit. By his own estimation. I'd say you lack a couple tools, Joe, but, you know.
Five-tool player, man. Just ask me. What are you talking about? We go back to 2014. Is that right? Or were you guys on air in 2013?
Here's what I remember about you, Joe. Here's what
Sorry, listeners. We're going down memory lane today.
I remember two things about the Mary Burke campaign. Three things, really. I remember, The Lou Gehrig Ice Bucket Challenge, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, and Mary Burke and someone strategically on behalf of that campaign chose me and Mark Belling on behalf of Mary Burke. And I always suspected that had to be you, Joe, because nobody else knew who I was at that point. Who was the lefty equivalent to Belling?
I think that statute of limitations is a full 10 years, so I don't think I can divulge that information yet. You're going to have to come back in your next iteration for the answer to that question.
And who is the guy? Mike, our pal over on the Sunday morning show on WISN.
It was Mike Goucher.
Mike Goucher was also Ice Bucket Challenged by Mary Burke, if I recall.
Yeah. It was a right, a left, and a right down the middle, playing it straight, old Mike Goucher.
Oh, I wasn't the guy right down the middle?
No, you weren't.
The other memory, and this is something I really lobbied for quite hard. A ride on the Burke bus. The campaign bus. You got a bus. You rented a bus. You took me on the bus. And then Joel's like, sorry, man, you got to get off the bus here. I'm like, I didn't get on the bus here.
Yeah, hold on. So Prudy gets on the bus. Along with some other distinguished members of the Wisconsin Journalism Corps. And we start trucking down the road, and the reporters get an opportunity to ask the candidate some questions, and they have a nice conversation. And then when the ride is over, the candidate gets off the bus, the other members of the press corps get off the bus, and Crudy is just chopping it up with me. And at some point I'm like, hey man, like I got places to be. You got to go. Like, you ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here. And he just looks at me and he goes, well, I need to ride back to my car. At which point I said, look out the window, bro. We're right back in the parking lot where we started. He had no clue where he was.
I was engrossed in the interview with the compelling Mary Burke.
He was like, wait, you're just gonna strand me out here in the wilds? Like, no, man, I didn't get to Highway 29 and kick you out. You were probably 30 steps from your car at that point.
It felt like more. And I gotta say, sadly, the last thing I remember about, well, one more. When Elizabeth Warren came to town, she is a hell of a sidekick on the stump.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren, that was my first opportunity to see this senator up close and personal. I think UW-Milwaukee. I mean, she freaking hopped up on a desk like those guys in the videos, you know, jumping high. I swear she's got a 40-inch vertical. And then she stuck out her hand like Mary Burke's supposed to levitate up on that desk with her. And she kind of tugged Mary up on the desk.
Box jump with me.
I remember that, and I remember the evening at the Overture Center. Unfortunately, the night of the returns coming in, and Dom and I, we had made some friends across the street at Paul's Bar. Tony Capella and our boys from Five Nights we met night. But Mary gave the best speech of the entire campaign. I felt like in concession, sadly. I felt like that was the Mary Burke. That person had the, you know, it's so hard in these campaigns, Joe. I have no idea. I can't tell you I know what that's like because I don't. But I can tell you that Mary Burke should have been our governor. The woman that gave that speech that night. She was humble. She was very chief executive. I did vote for her. But you know what I mean? I would have voted for her four times had I seen speech earlier in the campaign.
I will just remind you that it can also be said that the best speech of the Al Gore campaign was in concession after the Supreme Court ruled. The best moment of the John Kerry campaign was after he lost to W in 2004. There's something about the stakes, like it being over, that changes the way I think we as viewers perceive political communication. Because as soon as we know they're not asking for my vote anymore, I think we all tend to hear it a little bit differently. So I appreciate that you enjoyed that speech. We were certainly proud of that speech, but we were also really proud of like her convention speech in 2014. But I also think, you know, political oratory has both a receiver and a deliverer, and that's my.
But don't
my
you also
weird...
think? And that's a great point, Joe. Certainly, but as the person giving the speech, whoever the losing candidate, you know, a weight has been lifted in some regard, right? You're no longer on the campaign trail. The unknowns are now known, and I think that also kind of changes some people's perspective as they're speaking.
Joe, totally. I didn't.
Hi Dom.
Hey, Joe.
Joe, I didn't mean to take you down memory lane, but since
we're I didn't know it was my last time on Devil Radio.
It is your last time on Devil Radio ever, unless you're talking about our Twitter handle, the Devil's Advocates. It's at Devil Radio, so you can continue to be at Devil Radio. It just means something different.
Well, you couldn't pay Elon Musk $8 for a checkmark and a different Twitter handle.
You know, we never got blue checked under the last system. It'd be easier.
Regime.
It'd be, you know, I don't even tweet, so that's all on Dom, kind of. But Joe, let me ask you something. You were obviously there, and perhaps the low moment of the Mary Burke campaign, from an outsider's perspective, was the accusations of plagiarism that weren't fully flushed out in the press. All they really said is, Mary Burke, what do you think about plagiarism? Your campaign's been accused of plagiarism. And it was somebody on the campaign, you'd probably know the story better than I, accused of plagiarizing his own work from prior campaign work. And Mary was asked the question and it didn't come off well. And it seemingly was a momentum changer in the race. And Joe, you and I were friends, at least media acquaintances at that time. And, you know, I owed you one. And you called me in September and you said, Crudy, I'd really like to get Mary Burke on the show today. And it was the first time you'd ever made a call like that to me, at least. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'd love to, Joe, but it's my wife's, let's say, 22nd birthday. And and we're out of state and we can't do it today. We don't have a show to offer you, Joe. We've worked awfully hard to change the complexity of the media environment. Do you think that changes things from a candidate's point of view? I mean, it would be a different creature. If Dom and Crute were gone, we'd have several other shows to offer.
Yeah.
We'd have a statewide network. There'd be really, it could be a round robin campaign. It could be Mary in the morning, Mary at midday, Mary in the afternoon. Yeah. And I'm sure there will come a time when civic media gets that phone call. Maybe not from you, but maybe a friend of all of ours.
Yeah, so, I think maybe they've put me out to pasture. I don't think anybody's asking me to work on their gubernatorial campaign anytime soon.
You're out there grazing now, Joe. But so here's the point. How important is the availability of a response platform? We were talking about the Supreme Court being moderated, a Supreme Court race today being moderated by a Righty Whitey talk radio host.
Yeah, it's a game changer. And I would encourage every candidate for every office to avail themselves of this incredible platform that you guys have built and are still building and working to expand into every corner of the state, to know that you have the ability to get your message into the ears and in front of the eyes of the voters is really, really important. There are other mediums that are doing this kind of work, like UpNorthNews.com, UpNorthNewsWI.com, which is a website that has content that takes content from, you know, progressive voices who you may not necessarily hear from the traditional mainstream or lamestream media. So whether it's digital publications, whether it is radio, whether it is podcasts, having an opportunity, a place to go to get your message out, both in a rapid response environment or just, you know, news of the week, is fantastic. And I tip my cap if it wouldn't knock my earphones off at this point.
Joe, Joe Zepecki, our good friend, a fine Dem strategist and friend of ours, the spring elective cycles, these Supreme Court races, I've always thought that, you know, Republicans have this tremendous advantage. They got 81 right-wing talk radio stations, and the Dems do a great job in presidential years, and they do a okay job in the midterm years, and they haven't always done very well in the non-presidential years. And the two examples I can think of are Hagedorn and Prosser. So, Joe, how important is it that we even let people know there's a Supreme Court race going on right now, and this is perhaps one of the more important races? And we always say that, but this one really is kind of a big deal, is it not, Joe?
It absolutely is. And I, you know, I talk to national reporters, national, you know, columnists and folks who are trying to get an understanding of the landscape here in Wisconsin with some regularity by virtue of the work I've done and the work I do. And the way that I describe the landscape these days is very different than how I did it 5 years ago. I think 5-6 years ago, we all sort of went into these spring statewide elections feeling like Republicans, conservatives started with a little bit of an advantage. I think we have really changed that. That has changed for a couple of reasons. Number one is, you know, the change in voter alignment based on college degree. There are more college educated folks who are identifying themselves with the Democratic Party. It has to do with the growth of Madison, not just in terms of raw population, but also in terms of Democratic performance. That is the place where you guys have been the longest and have been the loudest and have been really, really well received over the last almost 10 years. And I do think, third, we have figured out how to more effectively get our message in front of the voters. And so for all of those reasons, I now come into a spring election like this, and I feel a lot better than I did 5, 6, 7 years ago. Now, listen, it doesn't happen on its own, and don't anybody rest on your laurels. We got to get out there and we got to participate both in February and in April. And the reason to do it is, as you said, Crudy, it's all on the line. Every election is important, but when you think about what we all would have walked across hot coals in protest of and for last time, reproductive freedom for women, right? The creeping threat of authoritarianism, of neo-fascism, where people are trying to say your vote doesn't matter. If we, the elected Republicans, think that we should win an election, we're just going to decide we win an election. That's not who we are. That's not who this state is. And the control of the state's highest court is going to impact those issues about democracy, about women's reproductive freedom, and so many more for years to come. It is not an exaggeration to say, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the most important election of our lifetimes, but I'm going to tell you it is the most important spring election in the last 15 years, no question.
Joe, you kind of mentioned it, but I give you the fourth one and articulate it specifically. The megas, the Republicans, you know, the Charlottes, you know, the white nationalists, the anti-choice people. All, and, you know, Donald Trump has laid all that bare. He's given them all permission. That's all happened in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think there's also a visceral reaction, not only to, you know, the mega mindset, but certainly the practical part of what that means, and that is, you know, overturning Roe v. Wade. There are practical implications to all of that, and I think, you know, the majority of people 50% plus one certainly are not down with fascism, Joe. We got about 45 seconds left in this segment. What do you think?
I would just say amen. That the only force in the world more strong than that is us, is we the people. And we just have to remember that the last 5 years, the last however it is, 7 years, have really crystallized that and focused it. We got to stay sharp. We can't let off the gas. Get out there and vote this spring. I'm sticking around. I don't care what you say. One more segment.
Joe Zepecki's last appearance ever on Devil Radio. We'll extend it by one segment, but one segment only. We got Jim Santel coming soon.
We're not going to beat anybody. We're the devil.
The Devil's Advocates. Tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Make sure you follow us on the socials at Devil Radio on Twitter and on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio.
Did we mention Joe Zepecki sticking around? Whether we
one more time!
Last appearance ever on the Devil Radio, fella.
Better make it a good one. No pressure.
Pressure's not on us. We're always good. We do this every day. We're pros. You're the touch and go kind of guy. You know,
all right, well, throw it out. Grab bag. What do you got? Lay it on me. Hit me.
Well, let's talk about the Supreme Court race. Dom's been talking about a Republican Party in disarray. The conservatives are eating their own. Joe, I say, have at, boys and girls.
Yeah, I after last fall, what I said was the Republican Party remains divided and the Democratic Party is united. We saw that. I think the clearest display of that was right around that August primary, where Republicans were at each other over the Michaels v. Clayfish primary. Democrats reuniting behind Mandela Barnes. Here we are, fast forward from August of last year to February of this year. They still haven't figured it out. You got, you know, Kelly saying he's not going to endorse Doro. Doro saying she will endorse Kelly. But boy, are his supporters being mean to her. It's a Republican Party that is sort of now seeing the cost of Donald Trump. That's what I would ascribe it to. We talked a little bit before the break. There's a, you know, one of the, I think, right wing trolls titled, you know, everything Trump touches dies. It was only a matter of time before Trump's rot festered down all the way to state political parties that had been historically strong. The Republican Party of Wisconsin historically had its act together when you look at the last 15, 20 years. That you can't say that anymore. They're a mess because they have sort of abdicated their principles in name, to worship at the altar of the almighty orange god king.
If that's the case, Joe, they didn't have the principles to begin with. It was all a charade.
I disagree with that. I think 20 years ago, 10 years ago, Republicans stood for something to a far greater degree than they do today. They've made different choices. And I'm not even suggesting they don't have principles or values. I'm just saying they decided to make choices, right, that minimized those values and diminished them.
Much like Devil Radio, the Republican Party is dead.
I don't know, man. I think, you know, Donald Trump couldn't pull this out of them if it wasn't already there to start with, Joe. You know what I mean? I didn't get pulled into the stop the steal thing, man. You know what I mean? I think they are culpable for this, man. As much as Donald Trump is, they willingly went along with this. And you can, if you set your principles aside to worship at the altar of the orange god, then those aren't really principles, man. That's the point of a principle. You keep it even when times are tough, even when the political winds are against you. That is a principle. If everything else is malleable, it's not a principle.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm trying to impart to you and our dear listeners is that the most powerful force in the world is the human mind. It can convince itself of basically anything. It can justify anything. And the stories we tell ourselves are maybe the most powerful of all. And I'm just here to tell you that the same evangelical Christians who were all in for compassionate conservatism under George W. Bush, when Donald Trump strode across the stage, they still believed in the things that led them to support compassionate conservatism. They just decided, a choice I'm willing to make for the outcomes I think are most likely under this president is to set some of that aside. And that was the first step. And that was easier than, you know, and then once you're on that path, it gets harder and harder to extricate yourself. And you have to sort of continually justify why you were on this path to begin with. And before long, it's 7 years later, you look behind you, you've lost your way, but you're still trying to tell yourself, no, I really care about these things. I've always cared about these things. It just turns out that those of us who aren't in the swamps with them can look at them and go, man, you have strayed an awful long way. And the cost of it is now hitting Republicans and conservatives because their own party can't get it together. Because there are people in the Republican Party here in Wisconsin who never left their principles, who said they were never Trump, who said, you know what? Rebecca Clayfish, very conservative, not a crazy person, not willing to sell out to Donald Trump. That's who I'm going to stick with. And when Tim Michaels said, you know what, I'm going to come in and I'm going to buy this thing and I'm going to sell my soul to Donald Trump, the people who were with Clayfish were awfully hacked off about that, and rightly so. And now you've got, right, and this is where the politics gets messy, right? Like within that Kelly versus Doro fight, you've got a lot of the Michaels and Trump folks around Doro. And you've got a lot of the Walker Clayfish folks around Kelly. Guess what? They still might as well be a couple of cats in a cloth sack wrestling and spitting and hissing. And from my standpoint, I just go, hand me the popcorn, man. Let's see. Let's see. Because I want them fighting with each other because it's less time they have to fight us.
Bill Leader's reporting today, the Gabelman investigation, Joe Zepeckiar, fine guest, Zepecki Communications, the $2 million and counting, still have some court cases out there, just spending the money like drunken sailors, Joe, the fiscal Republicans. But I think this is another example of that. You know, at first it was Voss and then Gabelman, and they had a little breakup, and that was, of course, after Trump pressured Voss and this whole thing. This seems to be the case no matter where you look in this Republican Party right now, Joe.
Yeah, they've lost the plot, right? What is the policy agenda? Well, in the 2020 National Republican Convention, they decided we don't have a platform anymore. Whatever that orange guy says, that's what we're for, right? I agree or disagree, and in my case, it's almost entirely disagree with the Scott Walker policy agenda. He had public policies that he was trying to do, right? But now they are a party that I think is pretty devoid of ideas. And so when they don't have ideas, they don't have public policy fixes to the challenges that we face, they are, you know, still playing a game of personalities and sound bites and cheap, you know, bumper sticker sloganeering. And that is no substitute for governing, for having a true North Star. And, you know, hey, that's their problem. It's of their own making. So I'll leave them to sort it out. I know what Democrats stand for.
Come on, man. Scotty Wanker was 50 plus one. And if he had policy proposals, he lied to the people about them, other than I'm going to kill the train. I mean, that's not a proposal. That's an anti-proposal. I'm against progress. I mean, Scott Walker, it was about three terms in before the guy ever had a policy proposal. And even then he was running away from them because he was pivoting towards a presidential run. You know that. I know that. Just wanted to win over some Christian conservatives in Iowa. Never had any guiding character, that son of a...
So you're saying these people preacher. Were nihilists, Donnie?
Something like that. You know, Joel, we launched WRD 6 years ago today.
Happy birthday, boys.
Couple days
Love from you. Now. Miss you. Thanks for having me back for one last ride with the Devil Radio crew.
Kill him.
I hope you'll have me back. Whatever the heck we're calling you a week from now.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll have you on the country stick, Joe. Country Joe Zepecki, thank you so much. More Devil's Advocates. James Santel, another fine guest, is next.